Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Moses is a message, got to get the message to our brothers and sisters.
Let us share one mind through a vision of our future.
Mafia. Greetings, Hotep, Jim Hotep, and welcome to the Carrie Reed Room. You have your Omieka 7 in the house, your Emperor live coming to you straight from my living room. And I'm going to get those drummers out here because I am the Emperor, you know. And the Emperor must have a drum roll. Drummers, let's go. They're bringing up the drum roll. And as they're bringing up the drum roll, I want to welcome you to the Carrie Reed Room to another segment of Reparation. Thanks for joining me this evening. The Emperor is in the house. Whatever you like, I am here for your disposal and for whatever you like. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to another feature show. And because we're starting the show a little bit later today, Omi got really hung up today. I'm sorry to tell you, I was out in the traffic, out in the doctor's office, out and about in the community. I could have did the show from the community, but I didn't want to perturb you with all the frustration I was going through. So I know that you would have waited for me, and I'm glad you did because you are in for a treat. We're going to do a short libation, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to go and get myself purified, cleanse myself. And you know I have to pour the libations to the west. Pour libations to the east. Pour libations to the north. And I pour libations to the south. I allow my face to be washed with the water to purify me so I won't walk into the room with a stale face. And I cleanse my hands. And I allow the water to pour to the ground. And I say that the ground is fertile now. Where we're standing is holy ground. The ground is fertile, and where the water hits, may it spring up and take root. I call on the ancestors from my father's side of the family. I like to call on all of his side of the family and light a candle on his behalf to light the way. I also like to pour a glass of water for my father's side of the family. I like to light a candle for my mother, representing my mother's side of the family, and I like to pour a glass of water on behalf of my mother's side of the family. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get your names out of your heroes and sheroes and your ancestors. I like to call on the name of Robert Jenkins, and I say Ashe. I call on the name of Clara Jenkins, and I say Ashe. I call on the name of Tommy Pete Harvey, Ashe. I call on Eugene Lilly Jenkins, Ashe. I call on Marvin Jenkins, Ashe. Robert Jr. Jenkins, Ashe. I call on Lucille Day, Ashe. Ludell James, Ashe. Louise Lord, Ashe. I call on Isa Lilly, Ashe. Bessie Lilly, Ashe. Isa Lilly, Ashe. Ruby Lily Ashe, Ruby Bracken Ashe, Clifford Bracken Ashe, Mary Lou Hawkins Ashe, Essie Pope Ashe, Tommy Harvey Ashe, Michelle Harvey Ashe, Sam Lilly Ashe, George Lilly Ashe, Michael Lilly, and Tom Harvey Lilly. And I say, so be it, so let it be done. Ladies and gentlemen, as you step into the room where there is now solitude, I ask you to begin to meditate. As you meditate, taking deep breaths, breathing in and out the oxygen of prosperity, reparation, and breathing out the energies of solitude. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to also tell you that this is the time to request your desires of your heart. And I'd like for you to call on your ancestors today, because they want to pick you up, and they're here to make you strong. I want you to remember, in calling on your ancestors, acknowledge them for all of the great things that they have done over time. I'd like for you to also remember that it is your ancestors' backs who you are standing on, and no one else, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like for you to understand that standing on your ancestors' back is very, very important, because they are the one and they're the sole total of why we have come here to do what it is we are doing. And ladies and gentlemen, as you begin to meditate, now quiet yourself with me and synchronize your vital signs with me as I synchronize mine with yours. As you take deep breaths, remembering the work that your ancestors did, remembering the problems that you've had in life, and knowing that the ancestors came here to make things all better. Ladies and gentlemen, you can now get ready to go into the talking cure, into the room where we begin the session. As we begin to go into the room, we will call on our ancestors to assist and aid us as we go into the room. And as the libation drums play, get prepared to go in. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to ask permission to speak for my elders. Elder, do I have permission to speak? Yes, you have permission to speak. Thank you very much, Elder. Ladies and gentlemen, because of the time, I'm going to ask you to hurry into the sanctuary so we can get started with the lesson. Please take your seat, children at the end and the elders at the beginning. We'd like to thank you for joining us for this segment of reparation. As you take your seat, ladies and gentlemen, allow the elders to go in before you and ask them to please light the way for you and make the way open and clear. All right, we are about to close the sanctuary doors. The sanctuary doors are now being closed. So please sit down and complete the ending of our talking here. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We are now in the sanctuary. Once again, our topic this evening, ladies and gentlemen, before we go on, I want to remind you of what it is we believe in. And as Kemetic believers and African Ifa faith believers, we believe that there is many ways to get to the Creator, and not just one. We believe that we were not civilized by the Europeans, that we came here civilized ourselves. We also believe that there is no devil, that a devil does not exist, that we, in fact, create the powers and give the powers to be to ourselves to become a devil, and that there is no known devil on this earth to torment God or yourself. We also like to explain to you that we're Kemetic believers, Nubian believers. Our ancestors came from the south, and because our ancestors came from the south, that means that the Twa people who built the pyramids, that's right, the five-inch tall people who built the pyramid. It is their shoulders that we stand on today, ladies and gentlemen. Our ancestorship is well known. Our lineage is well known. Why don't most African Americans take heed to who and where they came from? And why are they so embarrassed to be a part or associated with Africa? It is not Bush people. This is where our civilization sprung up from, and all civilization was sprung up off the backs of the Africans. You must understand, it is not something good to be ashamed of your heritage. You must be proud of your heritage. And as we begin to unfold the real story of the slave men, we look at what happened with the mothership and when we got off the ships and what happened to us as a people. It took many years to make us into a slave. We weren't slaves when we got here. It took a long time, almost 65 years, for them to make us into slaves. We weren't very submissive, ladies and gentlemen. We were fighters, and we fought and resisted the enemy's plan and plot to make us into slaves. And some of us held on to a little bit of ourselves, like our Yoruba teaching, like our spirituality, understanding the Holy Ghost, being able to send subliminal messages. Some of us even corresponded back home to Africa, and we resisted. We didn't just lay down and give up our freedom. Now, what you have to understand is that reparation belongs to us. Is it illegal and unconstitutional to commit anyone to involuntary servitude, except when they're dutifully convicted of a crime? I'm noticing that that is coming up so many places. Even when you go to register for your license, can your license be revoked or can your license be denied if you have been indubitably convicted of a felony? Now, herein lies the problem, ladies and gentlemen. We have over-assessed jail cells right now where people have been indubitably convicted of a felony or crime, which locks them out of all activity for tuition reimbursement, federal and state grants. It locks them out of any type of government program. It locks them out of employment. It would only stand to reason if I wanted to put you and you and you and you back into slavery, all I need to do is convict you of a crime. And when you become indubitably convicted of a crime, especially a felony, I don't have to worry about you. You are good as dead. You are almost like Lazarus. You've been locked out of society. Now, who can raise you? Now, Jesus wouldn't raise Lazarus, and I don't mean physically raising him from the dead. He went like a priest, an earthly priest, and he raised Lazarus back up and brought him back into the city and gave him all sanctuary and the ability to function as a natural human being, with all rights given back to him. Is there one leader today that can raise the Africans that's been duly convicted of a crime back up, bringing them back from the dead? In essence, once you're convicted, you are good as dead. Unless you have filthy lucre to fight for you in the courtroom. Herein lies where we need to circulate and zone into and work on. I don't care how much doggone money you get. If your people being locked away every minute, every second, and indubitably convicted of a crime, something is wrong with the system. Either it's slap happy or lukewarm or just don't give a darn. Let's lock somebody up because we can cut them off from the system. If you don't want your children cut off from the birthright, if you don't want your babies cut off for the rest of their life, then you've got to look at the judicial system. When that law was created, was it part of the black law? And if it was, does it need to be reexamined? And what exactly can someone do that has been falsely convicted, who cannot go into trial because of finances? And that would leave the majority of the African Americans who don't have trial money to go to court. So they lie in jail because they can't go through a trial law because of the funding involved. Why don't we create a fund for all those who claim to be innocent and who've never gone to trial and give them their day in court? Why don't we do that in the reparation? Why don't we set those funds aside for those victims who we know are innocent and who could go through a trial law and win? And why don't we undergird it with the funds to cover it through reparation? And don't tell me it wouldn't be fair. It wasn't fair to put all those slaves in unauthorized slave ship. It wasn't fair to constitutionally put them into positions of slaves and take away their right. It wasn't right then. So now we're going to have to look back and see how we could compensate people. Maybe we can compensate some of them for this crime and this heinous crime done by allowing those who are in prison, who are innocent, but need to go to trial. Let the chips fall where they may. But we cannot say a person is guilty before he's brought to trial. It is assumed that you are guilty because you never get to trial. So if this is a constitutional thing to have the right to go to trial and to be judged by a jury of your peers, when are we going to exercise the opportunity for the lay person who has no income to go and get an attorney? And why are the fees so high that the young person who walks into a court is always assigned adjudicator or someone from the courts? It's almost a conflict of interest. How are you going to get justice when somebody from the court is assigned to representing you? It sounds as if you got this person working both places. He's working for the state and the federal, and he's trying to represent this young person who doesn't even understand what is going on. Now, we got to break this thing down. This cannot continue to be a mystery. The real mystery of the fact is, why are these intelligent people who go to court every day don't question it? Why don't they question trial law? Is it that expensive to go to trial law? And if it is, let's put some money away. Let's start taking those basketball and football players to task and say, we're going to develop a fund for the people who are put away in prison who can't pay for their trial law, and maybe you can put a couple of dollars in and get the fund going. But we certainly can't continue to look at innocent people not be given their rights to go to court. Now you got situations where on applications you're discriminated against if you've been indubitably convicted of a felony. Now, those people are locked outside of jobs. Then you go and say, if someone has taken your license away, then you're not entitled to renew a license. You got people all the time being discriminated under unconstitutional laws. They have to be reexamined, ladies and gentlemen. You have to understand that reparation can also be a fund set aside so that those victims that go in the courtroom, every one of them be given a full-blown lawyer, not somebody who is still doing probate, but a full-blown recognizable lawyer to represent them and allow them to go through the channels of the jury making the decision. I don't care if it has to be continued to the Supreme Court. Let them go through the process and let the court system prevail if it's workable. Now, if it's not workable, we need to start examining what we need to look at with the congressmen and the House of Representatives and how this whole system was set up. Now, if this system was set up on false premises that we are 3/5 of a human being and that we're not entitled to a lawyer or representation, then we need to really examine, could we now still be functioning on codes and black laws that should have been outlawed and abandoned when slavery and the emancipation was finished. Should we be outlawing some of these laws? They stay on the books, ladies and gentlemen. You have to remember back in your school days what makes a law. Just as you make a law, you can also write other laws to amend some of these laws. You've got to get into the courtrooms, and you got to get into the legal aspect and get on your job, because you've got a lot to worry about. You got cocaine out there on the scene, hard rocks. You've got people being convicted of the same crime of drug trafficking and dealing with drugs, but each one of them, different nationalities and races, being tried differently for the same crime. I don't care if it's the powder or if it's the rock. If it's a crime in the urban hood, it should be a crime in the suburban woods. Okay? And that is where we have not challenged any system to say, what is the difference if a person is peddling drugs in any area of community and how it's formalized? It doesn't matter. Now, there's been some topics about let's legalize drugs and you'll make it less advantageous for people to kill and fight. That might be the case. It very well, but a study and a group of people, and I'm calling out a couple of people who suggested we do that, get a group of people together and do a survey and a study and start documenting the statistics on what would really happen if this was legalized. Then at the same time, you have to look at, do we allow our system and our community to become corrupt because we're allowing them to do drugs legally? And is it going to hurt more families? So that has to be looked at. So if that is a concept that you think would stop this recruiting of victims who are being picked up under drug trafficking, if you think that would stop it, then fine. But we've got a drug problem that's so big that I really question whether or not there is a war on drugs or not. Sometimes I'm getting the impression that it's the little guys that are being put away, but the real traffickers are still out there. So if we are going to have to really get to the root of this thing, because it's going to get to a point where everyone is going to look at the prison cells and say that, why are 99% of the prisoners black? Is it that the jury cannot find any Caucasian guilty? Or is a black person guilty by association of being black? So this is wherein lies our biggest problem of racism. Power is the ability to define a thing and to make others accept it as their own. So we got some power now. Now let's define something, and let's make the jury system, the House of Legislation, the legislators, the congressmen accept our philosophy of power. Let's define something. If we could sit down as African American and lay it out, define it, and bring it to the forefront and to submit it to someone who would not normally be sensitive to it, but help them to accept it as their own. I don't see why you wouldn't. You have power now. You got the juice now. I don't see why you wouldn't. Is there somebody out there in the listening audience who think you can't do that? Then call in. Give me a call, 646-478-0270. And if you think you can, call in also so you can encourage somebody else. But we want to say one thing for the record. It is high time that you so-called moneymakers who are at the top of your game, that got money, you don't need another BMW, a Mercedes, another house. Take the money you got and put it in an investment fund to help people who are trying to adjudicate cases. Use your money wisely, because it does you no good to see your brother over in the prison, because when you look over in the prison, you see yourself over there. And don't tell me you don't, because when we hear about a crime on the news and we finally get to see who it is, the first thing we say is, Lord, don't let it be one of us. Don't let it be another one of us. Because we see our brothers as ourselves. I don't care how much doggone money you make. Your heart cries, and it breaks every time you see an innocent man go to prison and is carted out of here for life. It breaks your heart. And if it breaks your heart, then put your money where your mouth is. Create a fund that's going to help somebody to look into giving people a fair trial. I know about trial cases. And sometimes we have to help fight our own trial cases. And we have to help our lawyer out. We have to do the mouthpiece for our lawyer if they're mealy mouth and they can't speak up for you, but yet you're paying them a fee. We have to examine laws, and we have to go and get case law to prove our case. And we have to go interview people that could be supportive and giving witnessing statements in our case. But when someone's locked up and doesn't have an advocate to do that for them, 9 times out of 10, their case get put off to the side, and they stay in prison for a long, long time. Now, I'm going to ask the question again. Is it unconstitutional and illegal to commit anyone to involuntary servitude except when indubitably convicted of a crime? I want to change that around. What if they were falsely convicted of a crime and you held them hostage as a slave? Should there not only be recourse for suing of the state, but also recourse for reparation? Because we really have to look at how many of those people have walked out of those jail cells who were innocently held hostage like a slave and was innocent. What recourse did they have? Now, sometimes those people walk away with reparation. They get a check. That's what you call reparation. They get a check. But how many of those people are in that prison who don't have the advocacy or lawyers to work a case out for them to prove they're innocent? Then they are held illegally and unconstitutional for a falsified felony. But how can they prove it, you say, Omi, when they're locked away? They have no advocacy, they have no attorney, they have no money. Then they're locked away as if they're a slave. Then slavery still does exist and is live and well and functioning right here among us. And we have not even asked the question, can we still be in slavery with brothers and sisters falsely locked up in prison? You never once thought to look at that constitutional law, the Emancipation Proclamation, to see. The Emancipation supposedly freed us so that there could be no more unsolicited. Now, during this time, Lincoln made a proposition to the slave owners. If they came back into the Union, you remember some of them in the Confederacy got out of the Union. They said if they came back into the Union, they could still hold their slaves. Do you know if they gave them a proposition that they could still have slaves and it still be legal, then here is a person playing God. Don't you know that somebody's still playing God now? They haven't stopped playing God. They told those men who owned slaves and had land that if they signed their name, came back into the Union, they could still own slaves, even though the Emancipation Proclamation supposedly had become law. Now, what in the world can we do with that? You had slave owners still holding their slaves as slaves while the Emancipation Proclamation was on the book. Now, remember Juneteenth, ladies and gentlemen. Don't ever forget that. Because, see, we were some happy slaves, but when in January of 1866, I think it was, or 1865, they told us we were free, we ignored them and closed the door and went back into our homes because it was very cold out and we didn't feel like celebrating. But then they kept on saying, well, slaves, don't you know you're free? But they didn't believe them because they were still working the land. So finally when June rolled around, it was warm enough, and they came out and they said, you're free. They began to celebrate. But it took that long for our people to realize that we were free, that no one can hold you. But people were confused then because there were slave owners still holding slaves. If you didn't have a job at the first of the month, and you were out on the road and you're caught by the policeman, you could be picked up and held on charges for frivolous walking around, not having a job. You could be picked up and be taken to jail and convicted of a crime. If you were sitting around laughing with some white folks, thinking yourself to be free, and got too tickled and got to giggling and laughing, the policeman could come by and say, "What are you doing? You're having too much fun there. Boy, you're committing a crime. You're going to jail." They can convict you for having fun and playing around with white folks. Then they had the other laws that also could convict you from seeing a view from the same view of a Caucasian and looking out the same window. These laws are in the black laws. You could go look them up. Now, if we can't do anything else with this reparation, let's pull this nonsense out. Let's talk about it. How in the heaven can a black person be living in a different world and not go to the same heaven as a white person goes to? And here it lies, you're talking about convicting these people for having a dream of the same dream that a white man or a woman would have. We are not allowed to have the same dreams. Are they going to take our dreams too? If these laws were on the book, ladies and gentlemen, and we can pull them forward to talk about how many people were convicted falsely, then we have to look at, are some of these laws still on the book? And are we still being convicted of some of these laws? And does slavery still exist today? See, you're too quick to think because you are not in chains and you can come and go as you think you can. You don't realize how the tracking system works when you pick up that cell phone and you're being tracked all over the place and monitored all over the place. A slave is tracked. He's monitored. His whereabouts are known. And don't think that your whereabouts are not known, ladies and gentlemen. You must also remember that when you don't have the right to hold on to your property when it's going down in value and you're upside down and you need work done on your house, when you don't have the right to go into a bank or to your church and ask for a loan, you're still in some type of dire need and being discriminated against the services that are so-called available. Now, we've got to get this thing right this time. We've got to also understand that our biggest problem is the penal institution and laws. The Native Americans created laws and nations. Black people, you are from ancient civilization. You are a part of Tahuti the scribe. You wrote the doggone thing, and you're still writing, and you're still mimicking writing all over the wall, and you have the gift of script. So how could you not be able to take your gifts and write a sovereignty document that would free you and free your people completely? Some of the nonsense that goes on in this courtrooms, I don't see how the lawyer and the judge has time to deal with it. When the Native Americans divided themselves from all races of people and developed their own sovereignty of laws, they had the temperament to sit and listen to their own people's issues. But because most people don't have the temperament in their court system to listen to our people's issues and problems and idiosyncrasy foolishness, they just chalk it all up and say, go to jail. And even if the person was foolish and at that particular time was right, that in that fortitude, those people have got to be able to say that we can go into a jury of our own peers and we can look at what to do about our problem. Excuse me. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go to station identification for 1 second here, and I'll be brief and I'll be short, and I'll be right back at you in the atmosphere.
I'll be brief. I won't hold you up like some comfy. I'll get straight to the point. debating which plaintiff case will prevail, or deciding which one will go to jail. Yes, I'll hurry. You don't have to worry. I'm already fixing to get ready to get ready to go. So before anyone hits the door, just remember, I still have the floor. I'm a poet, for those of you who don't know it, and it's been my real intention to show it.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and you're in the Care to Read room with Omi, Omi Inca 7, and that number here is 646-478-0270, and we're talking about reparation. Reparation, is it illegal and unconstitutional to commit anyone to involuntary servitude except when indubitably convicted of a crime? Now, we're looking at crimes of the black law and the black code, and we are trying to decipher, are some of these laws still left on the books? And are some people being tried unjustifiably? And are some African Americans being convicted of black laws and crimes? And is there a way to turn the tides and implement reparation in the courtroom to correct and reprimand some of these problems? Now, if a person has never gone to trial and they admit that they are innocent and consistently say they're innocent, then reparation should be set up to allow these people to go through a full-blown trial. Now, I know it costs money to go in the courtroom to have a trial, but there's too many innocent people who are laid up in prisons as slaves for the rest of their life because of filthy lucre and not having the money to do the cross-examination and the research and the witnessing so that these cases can come to trial. All of you so-called intelligent people who have all the money you need to have a courtroom that is prevailing for all people. And if you got excess money and you're playing around with buying buildings and buying corporations and buying basketball teams, then buy yourself a courtroom or buy yourself a legal department that will help your people. I don't care how far away you get from the ghetto or from the inner city, you're going to have to be faced with the institutional organization called the penal institution. I'm not asking you to go in and buy the penal institution like some of you probably do when you have a case. I'm asking you to set aside funding that will be there and in a place of adjudicator who is working both sides. I'm asking you to set aside money where a full-blown trained lawyer can go and represent cases in a dignified manner rather than masquerading across the courtroom as if you're covering this person and you're working both sides of the case. It's so much of that going on. So you got a conflict of interest with these lawyers working both sides of the case. They represent the state and they represent the doggone person who is held with the crime. So I am just wondering what in the world is going on and why hasn't somebody with money decided to look into this thing? These black codes and black laws have been on the books for a long time. And they're probably being implemented right now as I speak. Now, the most important thing that you must understand is that reparation doesn't come by just talking about it. It comes with research, and you need to prove to the government how you can help in this respect by finding your solution to your own problem. Now, if we can show Obama that we could do most of the work, he can cut down on hiring all these people, the black people can be created, they can be involved in creating a job for themselves to solve their solution. If Obama would at least give us the time to sit down and the support to come about with research and documentation, we can begin to take some funds that are wasted and away in the war, where we're fixing up other countries after we bomb them, that excess money could be used for reparation research. opposing that we have a reparation research, because you now have people in prison who are indubitably falsely convicted and are in slavery, and that's exactly what the Emancipation Proclamation said, that the only way that you can still be picked up and put away as a slave is that you're convicted. Now, if you're not convicted, then you have no business being put into the category of a slave. There lies the problem. Convicted. If you're not convicted, and if you prove to be innocent, and you're innocent until you prove to be guilty. So we got a problem with slaves still in the prisons. Obama, you need to give us a call. You need to set up a committee, and you need to get people who are thinkers and create a think tank and look at this thing. I don't know why it took so long for someone to realize that the 15th and 13th and 14th Amendment had ambiguous language. I don't know why it took so long for somebody to push amendment through. And now we're not even looking at the black laws to see how damaging they have been to all African Americans. We not only have discrimination and slavery, but we have people locked away who are not entitled to a crime, and they're put away in slavery. Something is wrong with that. Something is very wrong with that. If you're out there and you want to talk about it, ladies and gentlemen, call in and talk to Omi. I'm here on the line. I am your emperor, your advocate, and your advisor. I want to talk about it. We're heading up into a new system now. We're talking about engaging in making Africa part ownership of the United States. We have these problems still on the book, racism, slavery, and yet we're still walking around talking about we're free. We're never going to be free until we address the real issues. And the real issues today is, our constitutional laws adequate for African American? And are these truths held to be constitutional? And do we have the right to those laws? And are we able to exercise them? The preamble, the Constitution, looking at the amendment, the Emancipation Proclamation. Black folks, if y'all have never did anything else, get your Emancipation Proclamations out. Start tearing them apart. Get out the Constitution and start reading it. Look at the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment, and then look at the black codes and the black laws and see where we're at. I'm calling on those people in the audience that say that they're about the solution, all the radio stations that are out there speaking out and have a voice. It's high time out for all this jumping around and jerking around and bumping butts and doing your dance, and that's great. But we got an opportunity to speak to a mass of people. Let us not waste our time on these airways talking nonsense. Let us use these airways, free airways time. Let us use these appropriately. Because there's so much work that has to be done. Why don't we band together? Find an avenue or area you want to research or work with. Why don't we come together with these airways and national radio stations and talk to Obama and let him know these are learned people that can see between the lines, and we've known all along something was wrong with those laws. Now, Omi can't do it all by myself, and I don't profess to be able to do it all alone, but I am asking each and every one of you to come in the room and talk about it. And I'm calling on you. I've had a few of my brothers to call in and to break bread with me and to talk about solutions. I'm not about talking about the problem anymore. We know what the problem is. We know that reparation is needed. We know that there's some unconstitutional things going on in the prison system, involuntary servitude. Those servants are being let out, and they're working for pennies. It's a form of slavery. All of that needs to be looked at. Now, if you have no more need for Africans, and they are in the way, and now that you are aligning yourself with Africa, Africa has to be rebuilt all over again. Give them some land and let them go back to Africa, and let them help to rebuild that continent. And give them free. Give us free. Give us free. as my brother said, give us free. There's so much legal nonsense going on. The courtroom are packed jail with minorities, predominantly African Americans. If you sit in that courtroom and watch how the temperament goes, you will see who is innocent and who's guilty. And it breaks your heart to see the nonsense that goes on in those courtrooms. And if you are not wise, you would overlook some of those things. And they've got unwise people that are calling themselves judges who have no wisdom whatsoever. So we are not being judged by a jury of our peers. We have been judged sometimes by imbeciles. And it's unfortunate. But yet you're at the mercy of the court. And you don't even have a judge or a jury of your equal. So there's a lot of things going on, ladies and gentlemen, that needs to be re-looked at. I don't know if you're with Omi on this or not, but reparation is going to come, ladies and gentlemen. We've already decreed it. I decree reparation is going to come in some form, manner, or way. I decree it because the ancestors can't hold back any longer. And good must rise to the top. And as the pressures and the boiling point boil over, and as people's temperament is changing, and the world economy is changing, and even belief systems are changing, people's minds will change also about things that they were once flat-footed, set on, and determined. Determination about somebody else's salvation, about somebody else's liberty, is wrong. You can never hold a person back. Good will always rise to the top. African Americans have carried a lot of weight in this country to build this country, to work hard and to clean and to keep the economy going. Nobody has said a word about it. If our dollars and cents were stopped tomorrow, this country would go to its knees. Dr. Martin Luther King had a dream, but it wasn't about the right thing. He only wanted the dream about sitting in the front with other people, but he had no vision to have a dream to be a nation. You ought to dream to be a nation, ladies and gentlemen. A black people who brought in ancient civilization should never be on the bottom. We should always dream to be a nation. And if we are nation builders, we are to help Obama lay the foundation of looking at this new law. The new law that will really free slaves. What they put on the book never truly freed us. It only opened up another way to incarcerate us into slavery. We've got to wake up, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to jar ourselves and bring back our memory of who we once were. Europeans, this is no offense against you, but you've had your day. You've had over 400 some odd years to rule and to run things and to make all the decisions. Why would you be afraid that now that the new order is coming forward, that there will be a blacker race of people who will rule? Why would you be afraid? You know it's our turn. You know it's time for us to get what we deserve. And what I'm saying, you know is true. And you know that I am to be protected. If the great Almighty hasn't spoken to you already, he will speak to you. Because I am nothing to be played with. I am nothing to be played with. And when you know your calling, and God has called you for a specific thing, and you're about your Father's business, the fear that most people would have, it doesn't beset you. Because God will vindicate those who he is using royally. And where God has called you to do a job, he has made provision. And God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. And I know he wouldn't give me this to say and give me a spirit of fear. So he's already putting out a dare that those who come before you to do my will, touch not my anointing and do my prophet no harm. I know you heard what I said. Yes, I'm a prophet. I'm a prophet in the modern day time. because I'm giving you a warning. God is issuing a warning. He's issuing a warning that somewhere among the people in the institution, the government, who have the authority, they are going to hear the cry of the people who are calling for reparation. It is no ifs, buts about it. And these people who have the juice, like I said, are going to be called for to help lay down the foundation for the new world order for reparation. Get ready for it, people. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Get ready for it, because God has grown up gods in all of us. The preparation was for to build you up and to collaborate with God. You can't do any work on your own. You must collaborate with God. And now that you know the Godhead is inside of you and you are tapped into the power, he's lent you your tools, get ready, get ready, get ready, because he's in you, he's in you, he's in you. I don't care what anyone say. Now that you've been awakened, you know that you and God work together. And where you and God work together, you and God are going to work feverishly to turn things around, like racism, slavery, and you're going to open the door and usher in reparation. It might come sooner than you think, but it's on its way. There's too many people crying out for the same justice, the same justice. Give us free is what they want. They're asking to come out of these penal institutions, and they're asking to really be rehabilitated and treated like human beings. They're not asked to be broken down like another slave, so when they come back to the civilization, to the mainstream, they're now fit for animal kingdom. No, you can't do it to our people anymore. Can't break them down to the level of a slave anymore. Their very souls are going to rise up. And whatever is going on in those prisons to break their spirit, to break their mind and their visibility of being a female and being a man, whatever is going on in that prison, I decree that it stop. In the name of Jesus, I decree it. In the name of Oromola, we got to bring men out of those prisons and women, and not some butchers and not some switching men posing to be a woman. That has got to stop. Can't keep sending our men back prostitutes, and can't keep sending them back switching and left-handed people. You can't keep doing that and saying you're rehabilitating them. God is not pleased with that. And may he rise up and stop every bit of it. Sodomy is wrong. And sodomy is wrong, and it's in the Bible, and it's wrong. And if you're perpetuating that in prison institute and calling these people human, you've broken them down to the level of an animal. And I decree that they'll stop it this instant. We want men to come back. We love our men. We want them to hold their heads high. Don't walk around all buffed up with muscles and then still acting like a feminine female. We don't want it anymore, and it's got to stop. We're asking for God to go in those prisons and turn things around. Do the work there and stop that slavery from going on. And those that are innocent, give them their day in court. We decree this thing this day. Because Omi is now let you know the prophecy in me is coming forward. And no harm will come to me or my beings and my family. No harm. Because I am divinely protected. And don't think that I would speak out against this, Caucasian. I don't know why you think I wouldn't speak out against this. We've been needing reparation for a long time now. And Dr. Anderson said we must get reparation if we're going to exist. We must. It is no two ways about it. That's something that we are going to be about the business of taking care of. You best to believe that. We want to thank you for this opportunity of being here in the Care to Read room. And as I bring myself down from the spirit, ladies and gentlemen, gear up. There's some work to do. Go out there and get busy, because we need to write some letters to Obama to talk about getting together with him to discuss what it is we could do to help this reparation come to pass. It will come, ladies and gentlemen. I know that because you and I are winners, and we know that we have the ability to come together because God is the one that does the work and vindicating. We know this. And Obama, we're behind you. We're behind you in everything you do. And some people call it restoration. It is not restoration. It's reparation. And nothing's going to happen to Obama for bringing this forth. Nothing. Because the people want it. And what the people want, they're going to have to give the people. It's simple as that.
Y'all ready?
Y'all ready?
Say yes!
Hey, hey, hey.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are moving on up. We're moving on up into higher places. And if you are ready, ladies and gentlemen, you can take part in this new revolution for the United States of Africa. My prayer is that the United States will latch on with Africa and bring citizens who are natural-born citizens of Africa back home again. And we will be able to adhere to our land, and that we will be able to build homes and cities and roads and streets. And as we visualize together, let us visualize a new world order, a world order where we can become brothers and sisters again, and we can unite with our Africans abroad and in the diaspora. Caucasian, we have to understand that we have not been at ourselves, and we have not been connected to our heritage, and we have been worshiping other things other than our own gods. Allow us to clean ourselves up. Allow us to go back home again and to be our real original people like we once were. And don't be angry because we're asking for reparation. Help us. Why don't you help us? Go and talk to your congressman about giving us a chance to get our reparation. And talk to the congressman about allowing the people that are falsely locked away in prison to have their day in court. Do those things if you can. We're friends, and we're asking you, if you want to stay friends of us, you have to help us. You can't say you're our friends and turn your back on us and then go and rub shoulders with someone else and snicker about putting us in prison and locking us away in slavery. It has to stop. It's going to stop. And as I told you, as a mouthpiece for God, I know that God has given me this to say. I know that God has divinely led me and directed me to talk about reparation, else I wouldn't be on here talking about it. And I'm not talking about anything that's illegal, anything that's false. I'm not indicting any nation of people or race. I'm saying that things have got to be turned around that were wrong. And if you are a believer in truth and faith, then stand on truth and faith. Be you black or white, stand together to get this job done, because it's certainly a big job, and there's more than enough work for everyone from all races of people. And you Hispanics who are on the waiting list to become white, and you know that you are trying to become white, then when we come into our own and into our glory, don't expect that we're going to open doors for you. Every time there were laws passed, blacks were the last to get any help, and we opened the door for every other minority. We've got to stop doing this. We've got to do for self. And Project 2019 is an organization that believes in doing for self. No one's going to save us but us black people. We've got to save ourselves. And if we don't want the prisons to max out, we've got to get into the legal system and start questioning what is going on. Please, I beg of you, African-American people, don't dare stand up and say that you don't want reparation. Stand with your brothers and sisters, even if you might not know everything that's going on just yet. Align yourself with the causes. Don't stand aside and be a victim and stand in the way of progress. If you can't help us, then get out the way, but don't hinder us. This is something that's inevitable to happen, whether on this time and air or in the near future, but it will happen, trust me. I hope and pray that you are here to see it. Father, it's my prayer that everyone at the sound of my voice that are here listening in are able to see the changes that are about to come about. The changes that are about to come about for African Americans in their suffrage, in all of the things that they've suffered through. Keep them, Lord. Keep us. Hold us, Father. Father, give us the ability to stand strong in our weakest hour. And we know because you are with us, we are never alone. That's why we have OWE in our loins. And that's why we have the tools to operate together. I decree that everyone that the sound of my voice who wants to see change will begin to make change. and things will change. Obama will begin to address the issue. I'm putting it on his mind. It is in his mind and in his airways, and his wife and his children will all see the benefit. And let there be peace on earth. And let us bring Africa into oneness with the United States. And let us become truly Africans, African Americans. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you for the opportunity to be a vessel to speak through so that you can bring about a change, a reparation. It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. Go in peace. And on that note, I'll be here tomorrow. Please join us tomorrow, same time, same station. Lock in that dial. We like to see you here. And on that note, we like to put our hand in the air and give three shouts out. We say Harambe, 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 Odabo, and Baba Booey to you, y'all. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.